What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Bro History. It's Henry Zamota, Danny Abdeljabbar. What's going on, brother?
Chilling as per usual, man. I hope you're feeling better.
I am. I'm feeling much better. I appreciate you asking. And we have some very, very big news. Some very big, groundbreaking news that came from the VP. Apparently, Iran did 9/11.
It's confirmed.
Yeah, Iran did 9/11. Who would have known? I thought it was
Al Qaeda, but definitely Iran.
I thought it was Al Qaeda as well, but I guess it was Iran. No, you know what? All Muslims are just the same, you know. Al Qaeda, Iran, tomato, tomato.
Sunni, Shiite, all that.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. It's all just radical Islam. Oh, carpet bomb. Oh, oh. Like that's
it's just all brown people, you know. Like all of us suck, you know.
It was quite funny. He blamed Iran and Hezbollah for knowing about the events that were going to take place to bring down the twin towers. Wow, you know, who would have known that Mike Pence was so retarded? All right, so we have so much to get to today. You know, what's really interesting about our last episode, if you guys listened, is that, you know, we were kind of laying out the groundwork, I guess, for this episode unintentionally. We were mainly speaking about the embassy attack and what led to it, you know, what we thought the U.S. response would be to the protests or the riots at the U.S. embassy past the Green Zone in Baghdad. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, what will be the Archduke Ferdinand moment that will kick off a war. And, you know, we kind of settled and my take was like, I think that things will be kind of like heightened low escalation stuff to be continued. About maybe 2 minutes afterwards, as soon as we stopped recording the podcast, and I'm talking like simultaneously, like when you're like, all right, peace, brother, good night, that happened.
Cue exit music.
Cue exit music. As soon as I look at my phone, and then it's like, then all of a sudden, oh, Soleimani got killed. I call him Salami because whenever I text his name, I don't know. I don't feel like spelling his name out.
So we're going to be calling him Salami.
We know his name is not Salami, but we just call him Salami because we just got into a habit of it. The Quds Force commander who was killed in the airstrike. But yeah, I was being lazy. I was on the toilet and I was like, Danny, I was just like, do I want to? I can't spell his name on my own. I'm going to have to look at it, and I know there's no autocorrect for it. So I'm just going to call him Salami, and I know that Danny will know who I'm talking about. So we call him Salami. But damn, wow, what a series of events that happened over the past week. What a crazy series of events.
And honestly, dude, props to you for having the foresight to be like, yo, let's record on Wednesday and not Tuesday because there's way too much shit going down and I don't want to like lose out on shit. As a matter of fact, I should probably like leave the TV on while we're recording this just in case some shit goes down because holy shit, Salami was killed. And then Jesus, if we would have recorded yesterday, we probably would have missed the even bigger news, which was the response. Which we will cover today, and that was the ballistic missile strike from Iran into two air bases in Iraq, which houses U.S. and Iraqi forces.
Yeah, it would have happened while we were recording, and a lot of times we're not looking at news simultaneously, so we would have missed that as well. And a lot of people, as you know, other podcasters complain about this as well. When you're recording in advance, we typically have a one. You know what's funny about it though is that it was the same day. It was a next day release anyway. We wrapped up recording that podcast at like what 9:30 or so. It was earlier than we usually do. We usually wrap these up around 11 or 12 at night, and we wrapped it up early. And you know, we missed out, but you know, not to say that, you know, we're I don't like complaining about this because we don't want escalation. You know what I mean? Like, we're not seeking escalation or anything like that. But obviously, we want to deliver a show that is, completely is caught up as much as possible and is not missing large chunks of context when we're talking about current events.
Yeah, we're not fucking CNN. We're not on 24/7, so we can't like, you just can't.
But so a lot has happened where it's even hard to figure out where to start. Danny, I'm going to pass the baton over to you because I know that you kind of wanted to break it down, not leading up to the events, but you wanted to break it down reverse.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know what? Shout out Danny Scherson, who's been on the show for a while. You know, he's a former Army major and also, you know, writer for many different publications online. He wrote a dope article that, by the way, was also came out too early because he didn't have, you know, the attack on the air bases hadn't happened yet. And he starts off by saying, since I don't know what's going to happen, I'm just going to write this anyway. So I'm going to help you out, Danny. I'm going to tie in that last piece that just happened. But I kind of want to run through it the way that he did, because I think it makes the most sense. You know, oftentimes when we do this show and when anyone talks about, you know, the history behind the current events, you know, they start at some far-flung, you know, point in the past, right? Like, we could start in 1952 and shit like that. You know, we can talk about fucking CIA and like overthrowing the government in Iran and all this other shit. But like, y'all don't care about that right now. You guys care about what's happening right now. So I'm going to start with right now. I'm going to go backwards.
And another thing is, when you start out history, you can pick a convenient place to start.
Exactly.
That supports the narrative that you're trying to push. So when talking about Iraq and, you know, Iran and the USA, you can pick a convenient time to be like, well, Iran just supplemented, they subvert U.S. interests in the Middle East, they inspire protest, they're just crazy.
Depending on what event you want to start with, you know, it could swing in either direction. And the point, though, that Danny makes in this article that I think was really poignant is that, like, all right, first of all, I just want to make this clear, we're not like saying that we support Iran or any of the actions they did, but at the same time, we're not saying that fucking the US is like this, you know, innocent actor in this whole game. This has been a tit for tat for a really fucking long time, and while I abhor and denounce the attacks on those air bases, I think I'm not surprised, you know, because this has just been going on for a really long time, and it's a tit for tat, a quid pro quo, if you will, of like escalations that have been going on for years and years and years. So let's start with, you know, the attack. You know, we can talk about the specifics of the attack in a little while, but let's talk through that history. So we're here today. Iran used ballistic missiles to strike those two air bases. That was Al-Asad Air Base and Erbil. And why did they do that? Well, because we killed Salami a couple days ago, you know? And why did we kill Salami? Well, he was a bad guy, but also because Iranian-backed militias had attacked the U.S. embassy in Baghdad.
Well, let me add some context to that. So why did they kill? So you actually have that in your notes. So I was about that. But let me add some context into that. Why did they kill Soleimani or Salami, or, you know, the guy who looks like he is the meanest deli owner in the entire world? I mean, there really wasn't a good reason that was given. The reason given that he was a terrorist, that was pretty much it. That's what all of my right-wing friends on Twitter and Facebook, mainly on Facebook, because most of my people who I follow on Twitter are like not...
A little bit more nuanced, maybe?
Super dumb. More people on Facebook that I'm friends with are super dumb. And they are like, you're either with the U.S. or against or with Iran when it comes to this. You support terrorism and radical Islam. It's the only thing that I hear from right-wing Facebook. It's really ridiculous. And I was watching Fox News, and because Fox News is the main mainstream source of news I watch, because I like watching Tucker, and Tucker had a good take on this. He was like, why are we doing this? This is really, really dumb. He does not sorry for the sirens in the background, but we can't really help it, and I don't feel like cutting this out. So I hear Dan Bongino on. Do you know who Dan Bongino is?
No,
on
I don't
Fox
know.
News?
No.
So he's basically a he's a conservative Italian from Staten Island who used to be in the Secret Service and was a cop. You know, and he knows everything. You know, these liberals, they want everything for free. You know, the Democrats, they are a socialist party. Like, that's his whole, that's his argument for every single radio show that he has, or every single time he shows, like, the Democrats, let's just face it, the deep state, and then he goes on, like, the deep state is, you know, they're at the Trump. The deep state and the Democrats are colluding. You know, it's this guy is such a buffoon, and he has a segment. He's like, you're either with the USA or you're with Iran. The lefties, they want to be with Iran. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. I love bashing on lefties as much as the next person, like social justice warrior lefties, as much as the next person. However, dude, I also love bashing on really, really stupid conservatives. And it was just everything on Fox News besides Tucker Carlson, who I don't know how he gets away with giving so much dissent on that network, just had it completely and terribly wrong. But yeah. Narrative is that this guy is the ultimate worst terrorist in the world. He is worse than Bin Laden. You know, even guys who I listen to for sports, who are, you know, obviously probably more conservative, you know, they had to put their two cents in for on this story, and they were all talking about, you know, this guy was a terrorist, obviously. Dude, you never heard of this guy before today. You never knew who Soleimani was before.
You can't even spell his name.
I can't spell his name. At least I know his name, and I know who he is. I know what the Quds Force is. I know what his role has been in the
Iran. Yeah,
and I know I know his role what his role has been in Iran, Syria, and Iraq. I know what he is. I know what he does, and I know a thing or two about his history. And I know what the Quds Force is and what they do, and how he is actually popular in a lot of these countries because he mainly was fighting ISIS and a lot of Salafist extremist groups prior to his ultimate death. Was he a badass kind of like enforcer who served in the Iran-Iraq war, who was a hard ass who put down dissent? Yeah, absolutely. That entire government is filled with those types of guys, those badass guys who were basically in the World War One version of the Middle East version of World War One, where they were using gas and machine guns and human waves and throwing and death to the last child type of scenario. Yeah, he was a veteran of that war. However, he was also a big fighter of a lot of the extremist groups that that really do deserve to be condemned. And it's just funny that this guy is also a representative of a sovereign state of Iran. He is a general of in Iran, in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. He's not a stateless jihadist terrorist, which what the narrative was trying to point out what he was.
Well, I mean, to add some context to that, you know, I guess terrorist, the term for that is pretty broad, because, you know, we've named the IRGC and specifically Soleimani, we've declared them a terrorist as of like, what, 2005 or
here's,
something
here's
like that,
the thing.
Know?
It was recently we named the IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, a terrorist group this year. During the Netanyahu's election, if you can recall, it was
Netanyahu bragged
about it. He was like, "Look what I can get him to do." So it's Yeah, if you want to use the more broad term of terrorism, of just terrorizing a civilian population for just to cause terror for, you know, whatever movement, then there's no way to use the word terrorism without using the without also indicting the United States as a terrorist group as well, because the United States does that as well. The United States bombs people and kills civilians. They've killed way more civilians than Iran has since the Iraq War. Yeah,
and like, to be clear, we're not apologizing for this guy, right? Like, he's a fucking terrible.
I'm not apologizing for this, but I'm not going through like the whole thing of like, you know, just like, you sure. I'm not like going to apologize for being real. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to like backstep and be like, listen, I just want to make sure you guys know that I'm not like a supporter of Iran. Of course, we're not fucking supporters of Iran. Look where we live. Obviously, we don't want to live there. You know, we don't want to join a Supreme Islamic Council or, you know, work on behalf of the Dawa Party of Iraq. No, we're not. We don't have any interest in supporting those groups at all, or would ever want to live under those groups at all. This guy was a mean old Iranian general, and that's what his job was to do. That's how he served his state. But was he a jihadist? No, he wasn't a jihadist. He was an army general who commanded a Green Beret style kind of special force in the Middle East that trained militias to fight. And what's important to note with Soleimani, let's call him Salami, it's important to note is that we're going to get through this, but when you look at that dynamic of when the United States basically removed the Sunni army in 2003 in just a couple of weeks, when there had to be a Shiite army that was put in place. They were largely untrained. And guys like this from Iran, Shiites who with military experience were necessary for these countries to defend themselves from Sunni insurgencies. So in that case, he's looked as a hero. He's very popular in Iraq. He's very popular in Syria as well, because he helped liberate a lot of key cities in the Syrian war. So, and when I say liberate them from ISIS. So this guy has been on the side of the United States, or indirectly, that is, for a lot of
it. We talked about this last episode.
So sure. He's not a great guy, but strong men in the Middle East aren't great.
But what I think is important, that in and of itself, like him being a quote terrorist, wasn't cause enough to like kill him, right? Because there are plenty of fucking terrorists, right? That we still haven't killed, right?
There's plenty of bad world leaders in this world.
There's plenty of fucking people, right? So that wasn't the reason. The reason that we killed him, evidently, was that we had intelligence, quote unquote, to suggest that he was planning an attack on U.S. Forces and diplomats in the region. Now, that doesn't necessarily come up as just like, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we had intelligence. Go ahead and kill him. Because, like, literally, there was no, like, no one's given us any proof. And we might not ever see any concrete proof about it. And what I found really fucking interesting, kind of a little bit triggering, was White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham had recently said that it's, quote, unfortunate that we don't believe the intel that Salami was plotting an attack on the U.S. Bitch, please. Did you not just forget that not a couple weeks ago we got access to the Afghanistan papers that pretty significantly proved that the United States abuses or bends the truth to its will so that we can get into foreign intervention? Like, we're coming on the heels of that shit, and you have the fucking balls to say that it's unfortunate that we don't fully believe you, that we don't blindly believe you? Fucking crazy. You're crazy. Well, like, it's triggering in that respect, because it's like, of course people aren't going to blindly believe this. We want a very serious and very clear reason why we should get into an entanglement with a country who has the propensity to make our fucking life shitty. You know, like, it would be a terrible thing to go to war with Iran. We've discussed this over many, many, many episodes. But, okay, so let's pretend you're right.
Have you seen the movie Scarface?
Of course.
You know the part where Tony goes down to Bolivia to meet with Sosa.
Okay.
And they throw Omar, the guy who he's with, out. Sosa throws him outside the helicopter and says that he's an informant, and then mm-hmm. he hangs him. Remember that part?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, like, I like you, Tony, but I can't say it for the same for the rest of your organization. you know, that. So when he comes back and he tells Frank that what exactly happened,
uh-huh.
and then Frank was just like, Omar was a stoolie because Sosa said so? He's like, you want me to believe that Omar was a stoolie because Sosa said so?
Exactly.
So you want me to believe exact that... same response.
Exactly.
It's like, do you want me to believe that Soleimani was planning on an attack on a U.S. embassy because...
The intelligence agency said so?
Okay. They said a lot of weird things in the past.
Yeah.
They once said that Saddam Hussein had a clandestine nuclear weapons program, and that didn't happen. So what else have they lied about? So when you have a long track record, it's like when you have a long track record, if you're dating somebody, either a girl or a guy or whatever, if you're in a relationship with somebody who is unfaithful and is mm-hmm. who is unfaithful,
you know, fool me once, shame on you.
Many times
fool me twice, many times in a row,
and you know your partner, their phone goes off, for like 2 days while they're in Las Vegas. And you're gonna be like, you want me to believe that you lost your phone charger because you know it's you know,
you want me to believe Omar was a stoolie because Sosa said so? You bought that line. Maybe I made a mistake sending you down there. Maybe you and Sosa know something I don't know.
But it is imperative to question these things.
Right.
It makes no sense that they were planning on doing another attack. The guy, Soleimani, a.k.a. Salami was coming back from Saudi Arabia because we said this in our last episode. We were talking about this. They were planning out, they were talking about peace. They're trying to ease out tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. But we didn't even know this was before we even knew this last episode.
Yeah.
But
okay, but what's super ironic about this though, so we question the intelligence agencies, right? But what's ironic about this is that Stephanie Grisham is the press secretary for the current administration, for the Trump administration. And not even Trump believes the fucking intelligence agencies half the time. I mean, like, you can think about the many times that he's done this. He refused to accept that Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
I don't believe that. All right, Danny, that's
fine.
Fucking bullshit.
But how about he accused the FBI of spying on his campaign? He lobbed countless attacks against senior FBI and Justice Department officials, including Comey and Andrew McCabe and all these other people. He compared the U.S. intelligence agents, community to Nazi Germany during a bilateral summit with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Do you remember this back in 2018?
He was right about that. The point, believe it or not, dude,
he doesn't believe the intelligence agencies. Why the fuck should we, you know? Like, why should we blindly trust that, yeah, maybe he was planning an attack and that's why that was reason enough to go out and kill him and start this conflict, you know? It's ironic, dude. Like, you can fall on either side of whether you believe those things or not. The point, though, is that this is the mouthpiece of his administration saying that it's unfortunate that we don't believe the things that he doesn't believe.
So I want to also, before we get into this even further, I also want to take a moment to shit on the left a little bit as well.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Because, you know, I believe shitting on the right and shitting on the left simultaneously is a good way to do the podcast.
Bipartisanship.
Bipartisanship is the new name of this show. So... So the mainstream right wing narrative is really, really dumb. but the left wing narrative. Now we're seeing resistance from the left, which is correct. You are seeing it, but I've been seeing some really dumb hashtags on Twitter. So one of it is that he's doing this as a distraction because of the impeachment.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, you dummy. So Donald Trump is going to actually distract people from an issue that's giving him more popularity with his base to to dive into an issue that's going to garner him less popularity with his hardcore base. Are you kidding me? Is he that stupid? How stupid do you think he is? Like, all right, I don't think Donald Trump is a fucking rocket scientist. I don't think that he probably had the grades to get into UPenn either. But I don't think, give him enough credit, he's not completely brain dead. Well, he wouldn't be president if he was that stupid. Yeah. Why would he do that? Why? It is not that. Comparing it too much to the Clinton impeachment case when he bombed Iraq. I understand the parallels there. But no, he did not bomb Salami because he was trying to distract people from impeachment. If anything, it would be reversed. You know, he'd want to get people focused on impeachment to get people off his case about doing this thing that he should be impeached for. Right. But it's funny.
I mean, he invited this criticism on himself, in many ways. Listen, hear me out. In 2015, he did tweet when Obama was president, and he said, I bet Obama starts a war with Iran just to, excuse me, not 2015, 2011. He said, I bet Obama starts a war with Iran just so he can get reelected. So he kind of invited that on himself because he's an idiot on Twitter. But I agree with you. I don't think he's stupid enough to say, hey, you know what's a good idea? Let's kill a fucking high-ranking general in Iran. That's a good idea.
That will be great for the election. And also another thing is that, you know, we are seeing resistance from, you know, the mainstream left, but it's like a procedure thing. It's like yes, Soleimani was evil, but you know, they should have just filled the Senate a little bit. We would have said yes. We would have said we're down. we're down with this type of stuff. Like Obama used to do it all the time. We would be cool. Well, come on. It's a cool presidents do. They just assassinate people, you know. This guy wasn't even an American citizen. You know, Obama killed American citizens. But like I digress too much, but both mainstream takes are
devoid of the historical context. That's really silly. The problem. And I think that's like a good segue back into what we were doing because it's totally devoid of like the historical context. I think they take it way too, you know, their scope is too small. Okay, so where were we? We said Iran bombs two air bases. Why did they do that? Because America killed Salami. Why did we kill Salami? Because, you know, the Iranian-backed militias had attacked the embassy in Baghdad. And so we talked about this last episode. You know, why did they attack the embassy? Well, because the U.S. killed two dozen people from that same militia.
Khatib Hezbollah. It wasn't Quds Force. It was a force.
Yeah,
it was,
Hezbollah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Khatib Hezbollah, and it was a force that had connections with the Quds Force. What the Quds Force does is they go around and they make assets for Iran in the Middle East.
Correct.
So they train up militias.
It's like loosely affiliated, right? And then, so why did the U.S. attack those that Khatib al Hezbollah? Well, because Iran-backed that same militia rocket attacked a U.S. base in Iraq. And
we don't even know that.
There's no
evidence of that either.
Yeah, but let's pretend it was right? So Iran, that same group killed an American contractor in Iraq. Okay, well, why did they do that? Well, because the U.S. has been sending extra troops into Saudi Arabia, which is like Iran's enemy. And, you know, they sanctioned numerous illegal Israeli airstrikes on Iranian personnel in Syria and in Iraq. Okay, well, why did we do that? Well, because Yemeni Houthi rebels, who are also loosely affiliated with Iran, they claimed, a responsibility for a drone attack on that Saudi oil infrastructure, which maybe was also Iran. Why did they do that?
I actually believe that that was Iran.
Okay, well, fair. I kind of do believe
that that was probably a combination of Iran and Houthis.
Yeah, well, quick aside, I think you know, that possibility is growing on me too, just because of the precision of the strike that they just did on the air bases and not killing anyone. But that I'll leave that for later when I talk about the actual ballistic missiles. So where were we? Why did they bomb Saudi Arabian oil infrastructure? Well, because U.S.-backed Saudi coalitions had been terror bombing Yemeni civilians who they were backing and caused the world's worst man-made humanitarian crisis, right? Well, so why did they do that? Well, because Iran shot down an American drone that was allegedly over American international airspace. Well, what happened before that? Well, the Trump administration had labeled the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, that Salami commanded. We called them a foreign terrorist organization. For the first time in history, we said these guys are terrorists. Well, why did we call them terrorists? Well, because Trump claimed that Iran was...
Benjamin Netanyahu had an election and he needed some favors because he had some really bad... He had some really sticky corruption charges. I don't think he was indicted yet. Or was he indicted at this time?
Yeah, no, he was. He
it was before. Yeah. Was it before or was it after he was indicted? He wasn't indicted yet, but this was in court. This was in court. So Benjamin Netanyahu, Donald Trump's very close friend and confidant, he's being indicted for corruption charges that are very serious.
He was indicted
and it's the charges are taking money it's in regards to taking like political champagne and cigars and money. Mm-hmm. In exchange for smacking down rival media outlets.
Okay, but that's the unconfirmed one. The official position is that we labeled them a terrorist because, you know, because they're fucking terrorists, apparently.
They fit the label.
Well, it was because...
Hear me out right here. So let me tell you something about this. So when you see the Muslims, they used to try to take the Christian cities. That's how a boomer will like start out. Look, let me tell you something.
Constantinople.
The people
okay?
get the Crusades all wrong. You know, it was the Muslims who were trying to take the European cities because, you know, they couldn't build cities for themselves. Like, meanwhile, we're talking about a time where there weren't any nice European cities. Like, they call them terrorists because of political pressure. There's really no rhyme or reason for it. Yeah, like, because... Sure. To make it really, if you want to know the political game for that, is because if you want to think about the long term game, is that you have your right to stay in Iraq for as long as you want if you call the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist group or really any others, any Middle Eastern country for that matter, because they have a presence there. They have been invited into Iraq and Syria. So
invited
the U.S.
is a very important.
They have invited to fight Salafist extreme groups.
Right.
And what's important to take note is that the U.S. reserves the right to fight terror wherever they want. So even with Iraq, Iraqi's parliament voting U.S. troops to leave.
Which is another big piece of fucking news that happened in this last week.
Yeah. The U.S. even with Iraq voting for the U.S. troops to withdraw, the U.S. will, you know, I think the U.S. will leave troops there with, you know, under the justification that we reserve the right to fight terror wherever it is, and mm-hmm. the IRGC are terrorists,
even against your will.
Yeah, even against your will.
Okay, so we called the IRGC terrorists. What happened before that? Well, Trump says that Iran was behind the attacks on the Saudi oil tankers. We don't know that, but that's what Trump says, right? And then what happened before that? Well, Trump...
The limpet mines ordeal. We had a couple... We've had podcasts on all these events, so yeah,
exactly.
Hopefully if you guys are new to the show, you can listen... you can, we're just basically doing a, like basically a yearly review in all the shows that we've done. Yeah. So we did an entire episode on the Limpet Mind thing. Now, again, I don't know. The Limpet Mind thing didn't sound like it was most likely Iran, mainly because the ship that was blown up or there was an explosion on was a Japanese ship. The Japanese prime
that
minister
made port in China before there. Was it anywhere near Iran? When the fuck did they get the time to put the Limpet Mines on? Sorry, I get triggered by that shit. It's weird.
Japan's prime minister was there.
He was there negotiating with Iran. Why the fuck would he blow up a Japanese ship? It's just stupid.
Yeah, and after that, Japan buys a bunch of fucking F-35s to make the U.S. happy because they want to smooth out relations with Iran because they 3% of the oil that they purchase is off the market, which is a lot because they have to make it up. So it didn't sound like there was any motivation behind it, nor was it physically possible for them to do it. So I'm not convinced. And the evidence that was used was this grainy picture of a hole. It was like you were looking at it. You were looking at like an old Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
It did not show any clarity. It just showed a bunch of Iranian guys, Coast Guard ship inspecting the hole, they did it. They did it. Like, imagine if you see a bunch of robbers and they like smash open a window of a liquor store and they run out with like the cash register,
and then the cops come by.
and you're like, whoa, what the hell happened here? And the cops come and they're like, oh, we got an armed robbery, and they throw you out on the And I mean, that's probably a reality for some people in America, unfortunately. I would bet that they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe we're wrong. We could be wrong about anything.
Totally possible.
We could be wrong about everything.
This is just context. Like, we're going backwards in time to show you, like, what were the events, right? And so whatever the case may be, Trump said that Iran did it. Well, what happened before that? Well, Trump pulled out of the Iran deal. And to add to that, Bolton reportedly ordered the Pentagon to update their plans on Iran to send 120,000 additional troops into the Persian Gulf, which, by the way, it sounds pretty fucking threatening if you're Iran, you know? That's a lot of troops. Well, what happened before that? Well, the Iranian troops and their friendly militias had been meddling in Syria to back President Assad, right? Because Assad didn't invite them to come and kill ISIS or whatever. But they were there, and they were invited, and they were kind of a mutual enemy of ISIS with us.
They were the enemy of ISIS.
Right.
I'm sure everyone has listened to Trump's speech on the nonsense speech that he just came out of his lips. It didn't sound like he believed anything he said.
He was scouring the whole time. It sounded like he wanted to go off script so badly, but somebody had like put like an electrified butt plug up his ass and said, if you go off this script, I'm pushing the button. Like, honestly, he
alluded that America destroyed 100% of ISIS.
Yeah. Yeah, what the fuck
did you hear that part? Am I hearing things incorrectly? Are you talking about what?
Are you talking about the Toyota car that was named ISIS that no longer exists? Because that's true.
Yeah.
100% of those don't exist anymore.
Yeah. all right. To take credit for that is unbelievable. It's like, you know, it was also in the Kurds, you know, it was, but it had nothing to
and
do with Russia.
Yeah.
Nobody, it wasn't like Russia, Hezbollah, Syria, the Syrian Arab Army and Iran committed any forces to fighting ISIS and the Salafist jihadists who are routinely chopping people's heads off in mass. But it was all America. Job's done here. We killed Baghdadi. We got him.
We got
job
him.
Done. We got him. And now he's in the sea, right next to Bin Laden, rotting in Muslim hell, wherever that is.
So, okay, yeah. So
the 17 right. virgins are StarCraft players in this version.
Okay, so the Iranian troops
were... 40 virgins or 47, 17 virgins?
I don't know. Some number of, like, basement dwellers.
42 virgins?
Yeah.
Why can't I think of the right number? Number of basement dweller. Incels. Those
you
are the virgins.
42 incels.
You get 42 incels with really bad acne and who are mouth breathers.
Some neck beards, yeah.
Who love Magic the Gathering. Carry their switches, their Nintendo switches, and very like social public places, and play like.
hey, you're going just into uncharted territory here.
Now
man.
You're talking about me.
Okay, so the Iranian troops were messing around in Syria, right? So that was bad. What happened before that? Well, Iran argues that the U.S. had indirectly backed Al Qaeda. And elements in Syria, and because of its invasion of Iraq, they created the conditions that created ISIS in the first place. I have no comment on that. That's pretty accurate. So what happened before that? Well, Iran, according to, you know, Washington, the Iran backed militias and provided technology to kill hundreds of U.S. troops in Iraq. Yeah, like evidently.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You have to understand the history of the Iraq war. And if you've been listening to this show for a while now, you probably understand the gist of it, like the Iraq war in a nutshell. In March 2003, the U.S. allows a group of exiles from Iraq who are living in Iran to become the new government in Baghdad. These exiles were from an Islamist Shiite organization that took the side of Iran during the Iran-Iraq war. So the U.S. put a Shiite chauvinist government in charge, led by a Shiite strongman. But the United States was on the side of Iran during the Iraq war in 2003. They were on side of the Dawa Party and the Supreme Islamic Council. The U.S. and Iran, they supported the same Shiite militias during the Iraq war. The Shiite militias that were targeting U.S. troops were more nationalist, and they wanted Iran out of Iraq as well. And there's not enough proof. There's a lot of evidence that the armor-piercing bombs, they were made within Iraq. But what the U.S. does and what the media did is that they basically blamed every single death of a Shiite, every single death of an American soldier from a Shiite was immediately credited to Iran. They're like, oh, if any Shiite kills an American soldier, then that means Iran did it.
Right, it's the Iranian boogeyman theory.
Yeah, so it's basically like if any Catholic kills, if any Catholic kills somebody in England, that means that Ireland did it. You know, like it's that ridiculous. But like that, I mean, that justification will probably be used, you know, back in the '70s.
Yeah,
but
probably,
it's not clear cut, and the 600 number is I don't know where that number comes from, where they can attribute that.
Well, I'm just bringing up what the Washington line is, right? So we're going back in time and talking about the tit for tat, like you did this, 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 and that's just what they're saying, right? So I mean, what happened before that? Right. If this is true, right, and the Iranians were backing the militias to and helping them provide the technology to kill U.S. troops in Iraq, well, what happened before that? Well, before that, the U.S. invaded both of Iran's main neighbors, Afghanistan and Iraq, and effectively surrounded their country with American military bases. Now, I'm going to do the same thing that Danny does in this article, and he says we could stop here. And we could say America was the primary aggressor. And see, this is like you pointed out in the beginning of this episode. This is where going forwards in time and starting at a particular point could make a case for either side, right? We could have started here and said that America is the aggressor. But I don't even think that's fair, right? You can keep going back, right? So what happened before that? So Iranians had been for many years chanting, you know, death to America, America's the great Satan, publicly burning our flag. At one point, a U.S. judge had blamed Iran for the Khobar Tower bombing in 1996 that had killed some American servicemen. A bit of debate on who is actually responsible for that one, but you know, I think no one disagrees that Iranians, at least some Iranians, are saying death to America, death to Israel. You know, we're
the Khobar Towers is completely no one knows who that was yet. There's right. reports that it was Al Qaeda. There was reports that it was Hezbollah in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Those are the two culprits. Some say that they are working together. Mm-hmm. Gareth Porter has written a lot on that, on the Khobar Tower, so I recommend you read his piece. But right. it is not clear cut who was responsible for the Khobar Towers. Mm-hmm. But we do know that there was misleading information from John Brennan right. to whitewash any evidence that it was Al-Qaeda took any part of it, because he wanted it squarely blamed on Hezbollah.
Right. Well, I mean, all right. So if we take out the Khobar Towers and at the very least say that Iranians had been chanting death to America, we're this great Satan and burning our flags and shit like that, a part of the reason why they might have been doing that would have been because during the 8-year Iran-Iraq war, which killed millions of people, the U.S. Navy had basically waged an undeclared war in the Persian Gulf. That's the tanker war. So we had been fighting them for a while. I mean, we were basically flying our flags to protect, you know, people in the region, because, you know, nobody wants to take down an American ship, right? So, you know, that those are the tactics that we were using to help bolster the other side against Iran. Well, what happened before that? Well, the Iran had attacked Iraq and its tankers, right? And it's also its Lebanese partner, Hezbollah, had taken several American hostages during that time. And, well, what happened before that? Well, during the war from 1980 to 88, Iraq started, you know, invading Iran, and the U.S. openly backed Saddam Hussein. Not a lot of people know that. And we granted them...
I think the people listening to this show know that.
Well, if you're catching the episode for the first time. And, you know, so we were backing Saddam Hussein at the time, and we gave them $1 billion in economic aid and also other logistical support. And what Saddam ended up doing with that is he regularly used poison gas to attack Iranian formations. And they were able to do that with U.S.-supplied satellite imagery and the money and technology to be able to do that.
Well, what's interesting about it is that some say that the U.S. tried to convince him to do it.
That's an interesting theory.
Well, you know, we'll play this same. We'll play this game. The Iran-Iraq war was mm-hmm. we just spoke about it earlier,
right.
and where a lot of these players in the Iranian government they are veterans of, was a very brutal war, and basically you have one side, which was a much smaller state, Iraq, supplied with the latest and greatest military technology right. of that time. And then Iran, they had the leftover stuff that Richard Nixon gave them, like the F-14 and weapons. Because Richard Nixon loved Iran. Mm-hmm. Loved Iran.
I like you guys. Yeah.
I love the Shah. God. Oh, I never had a friend like the Shah in my life. I'll raise a Shah. Oh.
Ayatollah,
Ayatollah ruined everything. But the United States was very hurt in 1979. Before one of the main catalysts
right.
for the Iran-Iraq War, why the U.S. supported Saddam Hussein
right.
is because they wanted to get revenge.
That's right.
On Iran, and what better way to do that? What better way to do that would be to support strongman mustache to go invade the southern part of the country, the oil rich part of the country, and cause a stalemate. I think it was Donald Rumsfeld who said this. Don't quote me on this. I'm pretty sure Donald Rumsfeld's also the same guy who, you know, that famous picture of him and Saddam Hussein are taking hands.
Right.
Saddam Hussein was a CIA enforcer prior to his career as a politician. It was actually kind of like a dual thing. He was a CIA enforcer, where the CIA would give him a list of leftists that they didn't like, and they'd be like, "Hey, go case Saddam, take care of this for us." And he'd be like, or no, they'd just hand him a list, and they'd be like, "Just give him the list. Don't even tell him what to do." And he's like, "You just take the list." We're like, "Okay."
What
and
should
just
I do?
Go
with
and
this?
Just hang it. He would just hang everyone on the list, and he'd be like, "You wanted me to probably kill. You wanted obviously me for me to kill these people, right?" And the CIA is like, "We can work with them." Donald Rumsfeld. I think it was him who said, "I wish they could both lose." Did you mention in your going backwards, your reverse timeline thing, how the U.S. shot down and the U.S. an Iranian passenger jet?
No, I didn't get there, but let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now. So in 1988, the United States shot down an Iranian passenger jet.
Mm-hmm. Killed 290 people.
And about over 30 of them were children. So there are a lot of reasons why this country does not like the United States of America.
Right.
Let's
wrap this one up because when you watch,
there's this kind of like this goofy music video, this Iranian music video of this guy who's like, "Death to America." You ever see that video?
Yeah, I think you showed it to me actually.
I showed it to you.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of funny. You know, it's honestly kind of, it's so like slapstick and
it's
goofy
like stupid,
and like,
yeah.
And like the stuff that comes out of Iranian media is about, I don't
like,
know,
like that funny,
15
like
years
Pixar,
in the past.
Like that funny Pixar video of like a little tiny midget sub taking down a U.S. carrier fleet. That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. It's like bizarre. And listen, man, I'm not some fucking commie loser who doesn't like America. The reason why we do this podcast is because we love America and we want to call out our governments when we think they're doing things wrong. However, you know, we do have empathy and sympathy, and you know, you can be empathetic to people from other countries, and even when someone says they don't like your government, you can be like, "Oh, I wonder why. Let's look at the history of that. Oh, looks like our government has been abusing these people really badly for years."
Yeah.
And we're going to get even to more of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So you mentioned in 79, right, the Islamic revolution in Iran, you know, dozens of American embassy personnel were taken hostage, and that's held there for more than a year, and that's the 52 52 people. That's that 52
number.
Yeah,
the
number.
52 culture sites. Right. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, well,
let's talk because I'm going to forget about that. So Trump says that he's during this, you know, he's like, "The world bomb 52 culture sites." I can't do a Trump voice right now.
We're gonna bomb. You know, if they do anything, if they retaliate after we killed Salami, we're gonna attack 52 sites, and it's gonna represent each of the 52 people that they held hostage back way back when. I don't know when. Somebody just told me about this today. Anyway, we're gonna bomb 52 places, including cultural sites, because fuck those people.
Dude, what the hell is the matter with you? Like, I was like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Do you know who does that, who destroys culture sites? ISIS.
Yeah.
You know what ISIS did when
that was a fucking damn shame.
When they went to Palmyra.
Mm-hmm.
Palmyra is an ancient Roman city that was in Syria, that was a center for trade and had these wonderful castles and these arenas and these ancient columns and it was just a beautiful historic landmark,
ancient
treasure.
Babylonian shit in Iraq, you know.
In Palmyra and ISIS, they started destroying these landmarks, like these cultures, these significant pieces of history. That's what destroying culture sites is. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to go destroy the Tomb of Cyrus? You're going to go destroy the Persian Gardens? Like, you only... destroying culture sites is when you're showing... you do that for two things. There's two reasons why you would destroy culture sites. Either you want to completely just embarrass and humiliate the other people, and just kind of show hatred towards them, like in the case of like an ISIS, or if you're trying to completely Yeah, I guess that's the main reason. The other one was going to say, if you want to get obedience, and mm-hmm. and like that's the type of thing that the ancient Assyrians would do to like a to Babylonia. They right. would go to the ancient Assyrians would go to Babylonia, and they would take their idols and bury them or destroy their statues of gods. That's what the Romans did to the Temple of Jerusalem during mm-hmm. the Revolt of Judea. They destroyed the Second right. Temple of Jerusalem. You do it when you want to ultimately. Embarrass and kind of humiliate a society. That is such a terrible idea. And yeah. then he had a back. He backtracked that. He's like, I want to operate in the law. Like, but like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
I like obeying like, the law.
but destroy the culture sites? We're talking about ancient Persia. Like, there's many significant culture sites. We're talking about a civilization that's been there since.
Yeah, we're not talking about like the fucking movie theaters in Tehran. Like,
we're not talking about the strip malls that were made in the '60s and seventies yeah. that were called Little America. Yeah. We're talking about fucking historic landmarks. Like, we're gonna blow up the ski resorts over there. I hear they have nice ski resorts in Iran.
We're gonna blow up the laser tag arena.
Get him.
All your Maximum bowling pressure. Alleys are gonna be rubble.
Maximum pressure. Iranian people rise up. They could, but you destroy their laser tag, so they can't train for the resistance.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
You took out MEK headquarters. What did you do?
Oh no, my sky zone, my bouncy jump houses.
All right. So before that, the Iranian Revolution. Obviously, you guys are familiar with it. That's when when Iran stormed into the embassy. They took a bunch of American embassy personnel as hostage. They were there for a year, but. You know, before that happened, the reason why is because there was a leader there called the Shah. The Shah was a brutal dictator. The Shah was basically a puppet government of the United States. And it was largely seen as it was a resistance to him. It was also the people who sacked the embassy. They also wanted to find the evidence that the CIA participated in the coup to remove Mohammad Mossadegh from power in 1953. And I mean, there was a reason why the Iranians. You can take this back to 1953, really. Or if you want to go back further than that.
No, I think that's a really good that's a start. You know, when we elected the when a democratically
really take,
erected...
You know what, you can take this back even further though. You know, if you really wanted to take it back, is you can go back to when Iran threw out the British because they nationalized their oil company.
Right, that was in 53.
Because the British,
right?
mm-hmm. the British went to the Americans and they're like, you gotta help us!
Yeah.
You gotta help us! These crazy brown people, they threw us out of the country! Our oil is in there! That's basically... And I think the U.S., at first, they were like, no, they went to Truman first. And the Truman was like, the United States doesn't do that type of thing. We don't remove. They went to Harry
Truman.
We're not
for regime change.
We don't do that type of thing. And then they went to Eisenhower, and Eisenhower is like, sure, I'll do it. You know, I fought with you guys over in Britain, back in Normandy. You know, some of my pals. You know what? Tell Field Marshal Montgomery was a real asshole. You fucking Brits. Something like that. I think the reason why they overthrew him is because a lot of it was due to British pressure, because the British oil company, the Anglo Oil Company, which is now British Petroleum, was tossed out. And if you want to go all the way back,
all the way back.
If you got to talk about the concession deal with Iran, with Britain. Mm-hmm. So basically, we can even go back further. Iran and Britain, they signed a concession deal that was very generous to the British. So basically, the British, they excavated and they searched for oil across Iran.
That's when they stepped in it, right?
That's when they stepped in it. No, it's actually really fascinating. Right? William Darcy, it's actually kind of an interesting story. There was an oil company. They went out there. They couldn't find oil for a very long time. They called off the project, and then they found oil in like the last day when they called off. Like the guy, it was kind of a crazy miracle that they actually found oil, or not miracle, maybe the opposite of miracle, that they found oil there. However, they found oil there, and the concession deal that was given to the British was very favorable. And the Iranian, it was still a monarchy that was in power at the time. They were called the Hodjas. I can't say their name right now because my voice is a little raspy, but the Hodjas, they were really, really poor, bad leaders that kind of signed away. They're kind of like an African, modern day African leader. They just kind of like signs away the rights of their country, or of like an Eastern European country, who is just like a salesman who just like sign away the wealth of their country for just to enrich themselves. It was like one of those types of situations. But yeah. And then before that, if you want to go, the British were in desperate need of oil because they were in a big arms race with the Germans.
Mm-hmm. And that was back in 41. You know, in 41.
We're talking about, this is way before 41.
Oh, you passed that.
We're way past World War.
Well, then just to jump a little bit forward, because in 41, Tehran declared neutrality in that World War, in World War II. And then Russia and Britain jointly invaded and occupied Iran to get oil. So there was that.
Well, Russia and Britain were supposed to invade Iran as part of Sykes-Picot. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, because Russia went communist.
That's right.
Britain wouldn't have been able to invade them alone. Like, you know, they weren't able to occupy Afghanistan. They wouldn't have been able to occupy Iran. So they needed Russia to invade the North when they invaded the South. So that didn't happen. So who knows how history would have turned out if Russia didn't, that probably would have been.
Fucking Karl Marx had to go and ruin everything.
I mean, who knows if the borders would have been worse or different or worse or whatever. But yeah, that's kind of like a reverse kind of history of the entire situation going back from now.
Hopefully what you learned in this is that, like, the United States have been doing some bad shit. Iran has been doing some bad shit. We've been doing some bad shit to each other, right? Over and over and over and over again for many, many, many years. So, like, again, I want to underscore this again. I can't say enough that the attacks on those air bases was a bad idea. However, I'm not surprised, because of this rich history of this struggle going on for decades. And we've made bad moves. They've made bad moves. And I'm not trying to do a false equivalency here. But that's the context that you need to view this event in. You have to understand that this goes back for a very, very long time, and there's reasons for all this. None of this is just wildly flippant, you know, except for maybe killing Salami. but, you know, we shall see.
Yeah, well, I think the interesting things to take note is that now, what do you think that response was from Iran?
Yeah.
Just kind of lobbing out, because they intentionally were avoiding casualties.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So let's talk about that strike. So that happened at 5:30 p.m. our time. It was 10-plus ballistic missiles. I was watching it unfold, too. It was like, at first they thought it was rockets, and then they confirmed that it was ballistic missiles. And that's really important because, see, The difference between using rockets and using ballistic missiles is range and, like, payload. If they were using rockets, it would have been impossible for them, for Iran, to have done it from Iran. Rockets wouldn't reach. The range isn't long enough. Not to mention, rockets just don't have... They're smaller, they're lighter, they're very crude. They wouldn't have had the power to, like, do anything, really. It's basically like shooting... There's a giant airbase in Iraq that we've built up over the years. Like, it wouldn't have done shit. The fact that they used ballistic missiles, however, does two things. One, it ensures that they can precision strike, right? I mean, this uses satellite guided, like they shoot a fucking rocket into space, low Earth orbit, and then it detaches and then it falls down on its target at incredibly high speeds, which makes it really, really hard to shoot at the sky at that point. But more importantly, they can guide it specifically to a target. And as you point out, you know, they were intentionally trying not to kill anyone. And I think that was probably a really good idea. Because if they had killed even a single fucking person, holy shit.
I think what this was is because I think the U.S. wants war more than Iran. I think that's clear.
Yeah.
the U.S. wants war mm-hmm. more than Iran does. I think this was mainly them saving face politically.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do something. They know that there's still a line where if they kill an American soldier, yeah. if an Iranian missile kills an American soldier, then you know that's when we start attacking those surgical strikes.
That's when we start attacking those movie theaters in Tehran.
You know how many dumbasses keep on talking about fucking surgical strikes in Iran? Like, all we have to do is just with a few surgical strikes, we'll be able to completely decapitate their nuclear ambitions. Like,
I mean,
what?
Okay.
No.
You know they put those things inside mountains, right?
Yeah. Like, you see, U.S. technology is the best. You see?
All right. Huh. So, okay, the second thing, though, that's important about it being a ballistic missile, though, is that, I mean, Iran has been developing and putting a lot of money into their ballistic missiles over the last couple of years. As a matter of fact, since the Trump administration started, they had tested ballistic missiles 50 times. I mean, we bitch about fucking North Korea and their war against Atlantis, shooting rockets into the ocean and shit like that. But you know, Iran's been doing this shit too for a while. And as a matter of fact, while, you know, in the week between our episodes, one of the thing that the articles that I found was that they had started repositioning their ballistic missiles. So they were planning this, right? That's how I, like, immediately when I heard there was a strike, I'm like, yep, ballistic missiles, definitely ballistic missiles, because they were moving them around. That makes sense to me. But what it does is it shows politically that, first of all, they took responsibility for it. They did it. It wasn't proxies or something like that inside of Iraq, which, you know, would be the normal way how they would do things. And it also shows that they have the capability to strike with precision hundreds of miles away, right? It's not just a message to the United States. It's a message to everybody. They're trying to show people, like, hey, we put a bomb in your backyard and we didn't kill anyone on purpose. And for those people out there that are like, oh, their technology sucks, that's why I didn't kill anybody, you're a fucking idiot. You don't launch 10 ballistic missiles with the payloads that they have and miss every single one. No, that was a precision. That was a surgical strike, okay? That was the example of a surgical strike. Now the weapons.
That was like a gunslinger, like taking out his gun, like shooting out the background behind you, mm-hmm. so like it falls,
or like, you know,
in front of
shooting
your face.
The flame off of a candle, or like some shit like that. Yeah, it was very
just warning shots everywhere.
It was just very, very fucking specific. So the missiles that they used was the Fateh 110. It's called the Conqueror missile. It's a ballistic missile. Thing is incredible. It goes about 300 meters. Into the sky, kilometers into the sky. That's space, basically, right? And then it falls back down
to the Earth. The payload is pretty incredible. The speed on it is Mach 3.5, so it's supersonic. It's very, very fast. It uses GPS, so global positioning systems, to guide it. And it also has electronic and optical guidance systems on board, so it can be, you know, maneuvered on its way. Additionally, it's a solid fuel rocket. Now, that's important because solid fuel is much easier to spring up like quickly. With liquid fuel, you have to like pump liquid fuel into these tanks, and it's actually very dangerous because that shit could explode while you're doing it. And it takes a much longer time to use. So solid fuel ballistic missiles are like tactical, meaning you can spring them up and just fire them off real, real fast. So it's pretty important that they use these things because it shows that like they're not like a little bitch ass country, you know, like they have some shit. Now, to be clear, our shit is better, a lot better, but these are the types of weapons that they would use against targets in this region, up to and including our carrier forces. Now, we did a lengthy episode about the Millennium Challenge where we did this like mock battle against like a quasi Iranian state, where basically what the exercise was, you know, one of the generals on our side that played the role of the, you know, the Arab commander, they basically swarmed the shit out of all of the carrier groups with, you know, suicide bomb little boats and hundreds of cruise missiles and medium range ballistic missiles like the Fateh 110. And it's effective, and they have hundreds of them. The thing is that, you know, we used, I saw a video from the airbase that showed that we used these auto cannons, right? These things that are intended to shoot things out of the sky. And we definitely did stop many of those things from hitting the ground. Like they blew up in midair. But there is no way to stop that many of them. Like it's just too hard. It's too hard to stop that many of them. And they have lots and lots and lots of them. So that message that they sent, I think, was pretty fucking effective. It says, we're not a bitch, you can't fuck with us, and we can reach out and touch you from inside our own borders. And we'll drop that bomb on a dime, we'll place that shit wherever we need to place it. And yeah, I mean, that's what they were saying with this strike. I thought it was a very effective strike. Now, I don't think they should have did it, because Trump is fucking unstable.
It was the best possible. It was they had to respond. They had to do something politically for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they realistically were going to do something. I think you ought to be happy that they didn't start killing Americans.
Well,
honestly,
I'm very happy that they had the foresight to think like we probably shouldn't kill anyone. And I'm glad that they used an advanced weapon instead of a crude weapon that could have killed U.S. soldiers, but also Iraqi soldiers that were there, or even that it fucks up and just kills random Iraqis that just have nothing to do with it. You know, like that would have been absolutely fucking terrible, you know? So good for you, Iran. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to say about that. But so, yeah, they're using these ballistic missiles. What's fucking ironic is another event that happened a few hours later, and it's that an airliner, a Boeing, that took off from the Tehran airport, was evidently shot out of the sky. And I'm going to make the case that it was, in fact, shot out of the sky, and it crash-landed near Tehran. A couple things about that. 60% of the people that were on board, all 176 of them, by the way, died. It was a very tragic plane crash. 60% of them were Canadians, Iranian Canadians, which I didn't know was a thing. Evidently, there's a bunch of Iranians in Canada, and they normally fly over, you know, from the Ukraine because they're not allowed to, because of sanctions, go directly to Iran. And yeah, so what ended up happening was that the Iranian officials said that there was technical issues with the plane, right? And this is a Boeing craft. It is a
a very similar model to the Boeing 737 MAX 8, but it's not the MAX 8. It's the predecessor to it. So they were trying to like play it off on Boeing. Poor Boeing. They're having like a really rough patch here. You know, they had all
poor
that,
Boeing.
Poor fucking Boeing.
Poor, you know, poor Boeing.
They were like, they
fuck Boeing.
Kicked out their CEO and they were like, we got to get a new one. And then now another Boeing goes down and they're like, hey, that wasn't us. I promise this time it wasn't us. But Iran says that they had mechanical failure. They said that one of the engines caught fire. As a matter of fact, Qasem bin Naiz, it's a spokesperson for Iran's Road and Transportation Ministry, said that the pilot lost control of the plane after a fire broke out in one of its engines. And I read this article by The Independent, which I thought was fucking trash, but it was a good starting point and it got me thinking. I mean, they said in the headline, oh, it was shot down. And then they quoted some guy in saying, we recommend that the starting assumption be that the shootdown event, similar to the MH17, was a shootdown event until there is clear evidence to the contrary. It's like, dude, you're saying guilty until proven innocent. Don't fuck around. But it was a good article in the respect that it did bring up a lot of points and it got me researching a lot of different things. And I'm going to make the case that it actually was a shootdown event. And here's why. So the first part is that the aircraft itself was the predecessor to the Boeing 737 MAX 8. It wasn't the MAX 8, so stop trying to play around like it was Boeing's fault. It was checked 2 days before. It went through a routine check that they have to go through to make sure that all systems are go, and it came out with no issues. So there's nothing really wrong with the plane. Furthermore, the idea that one of the engines, you know, set on fire and, you know, that's how they lost control, that's bullshit. For you guys to know, all airliners have to have the ability to fly with one engine so that if one of the engines malfunction, it could still be operated and it could be safely landed or even safely crash landed, especially if there was a fire, you know. So the idea that one engine sets on fire and then suddenly the whole thing bursts into flames and then falls to the ground, that's stupid. Another thing that's floating around is that there was like some low pressure event, meaning like the cabin depressurized, and you know that could cause people to get knocked out, which could potentially make the pilot lose consciousness, which could be a result of the crash. But they were only 8,000 feet in the sky. And that's too low for a low pressure event like that to really make any impact on the people on board. Furthermore, what I found out through my research was that the plane was delayed by an hour from takeoff. I don't know if that had anything to do with the events that took place, you know, with the ballistic missiles, you know, hitting in the air bases in Iraq. But it was delayed. And it's possible that that this delay wasn't like whatever the Iranian equivalent of the FAA, they weren't notified. They didn't notify the Iranian air defenses of this delay. And it's possible that somebody on the ground saw a plane in the sky where it wasn't supposed to be because they weren't notified and made a bad decision. Right. And the thing about this is that when you can visibly see a plane in the sky and you're on the ground and you're operating an anti-air, you know, defense system, you don't have time to stop and say, hey, what's that plane up there? Let me call it in and make sure it's okay. Because by the time that you can see the airplane, it's already too late. Because if it's a bad airplane and it's coming to drop bombs on you, it's going to drop bombs on you. If you can see it with your eyes, it's over. So the likelihood, and this is my theory here, is that, okay, Iran just makes a big move to strike against the United States in Iraq using ballistic missiles. They are 100% code red, you know, like DEFCON 5 red alert shit in their country, especially with their air defenses, because they're expecting the U.S. to respond. They're expecting to see planes over there overhead or other cruise missiles or something in retaliation. And I think that the combination of the plane being delayed
and it being kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the heightened tension and the small response time that you have to have in order to make the decision to shoot or not to shoot caused someone on the ground to make a bad choice. And it resulted in the death of 176 people. And the icing on the cake for this, that I believe that Iran shot it down, is that Iran said it's not handing over the plane's black box recorder to the manufacturer, Boeing. If there's nothing to hide, they would have easily given this up. I think they actually did shoot it down.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. Like, it makes perfect sense that you have a Boeing, you are launching a retaliation attack, and you're definitely expecting an attack back at you. Like, why wouldn't they expect a Boeing plane to be like a B-52 bomber by accident? You know, it's not crazy to think that. And it's oddly, you know, sometimes, of course, there's crazy coincidences that do happen. You know, there's improbable coincidences that happen all the time, but like most of the time, these coincidences are not.
Yeah.
In that case, it seems very fishy.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny how the news, you know, the first thing they would say was that it wasn't connected. Like, these aren't connected events.
Right.
Like
freak accident or some shit.
Freak accident. But I mean, I would not be surprised at all that this thing was shot down by accident.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I find really ironic about this situation. So we talked about the number 52, right? You know, that's the 52 American hostages held in 1979. That's also correlated to the 52 cultural sites that Trump wanted to bomb in Iran. And we also talked about IR-655. That was the airliner that we shot down that killed 290 people. So why this is related, Hassan Rouhani, just a couple days ago, this like literally did not age well. Hassan Rouhani wrote in response to Trump saying that we were going to bomb 52 cultural sites. He said, "Those who refer to the number 52 should also remember the number 290. Never threaten the Iranian nation." Now, this is important because the downing of IR-655, that flight, is like the propaganda that Iran uses against the United States. The line goes like this: United States is the great Satan. Who else would intentionally kill 290 civilians by bombing a plane? Who would do that? Only a terrorist would do that. So they're bad people. And literally days later, in my analysis, I believe that they shot down a plane. Now, I don't think they did so intentionally, but it's ironic, certainly ironic, because that's the reason, that's the thing that they say, the Americans did. Now, again, I want to underscore that I don't think they did it intentionally. I think it was like just fucking tensions were high and they pulled the trigger.
Well, why would they
target.
Do it intentionally? You know, there's no
yeah,
motive,
right, because there are Iranian, there's Iranian
plane.
Citizens on that plane, and to my knowledge there were no like American diplomats or even other foreign dignitaries. I mean, there's a line going around outside that says that maybe there was like some spies or some shit like that on that plane, but there are much easier ways to kill spies, not like blowing up a fucking plane.
Yeah,
you know, like
up an airline, come on.
No. So, you know, I just found it ironic and terrible, but just some context because it literally happened hours after the strike. So,
well, it's super sad, and you know, you hate to see that. Like, I'm honestly really happy that no American soldier. I was really really stoked that no Americans died from Iran's retaliation. So I'm hanging that on. I'm hanging on that as a victory right now. That this all happened, and there was still I feel like we've just played another game of chicken, and we just missed. But this was the most intense game of chicken we've played by far
so far
since we left the Iran deal. You know, there's been a series. The big game of chicken, obviously, was prior to this was when Trump last minute calls off the strike that would kill 150 Iranians. It wasn't proportional, but this, I'm just kind of like happy that this didn't get too out of control. I always try to look at the good side, right. But I see this as being kind of the future for the next year until. As long as Trump is president, this is going to probably be the status quo.
You know, domestically, we've been seeing some responses. So obviously, Congress is, and rightfully so, you know, demanding that, Trump brief them on like what's been going on with the salami thing. But also now what the fuck just happened with, that attack. A lot of people, there's been, I think there's 180 protests that are starting to, that have been planned against going to war with Iran. So that's kind of some interesting context. I know that we had a Pratik on not too long ago, Pratik Jogli, in the episode Pieces Passé, and he was saying that like the culture of anti-war is just kind of like meh now. So I wonder what he'd have to say about, a lot of these protests that are springing up against war in Iran now, because this is pretty interesting. Maybe we'll have more again.
Most of the response were like World War III memes, like
yeah,
me talking to the World War III recruiter. All right, I'm getting. I think it's time to wrap this baby up.
Yeah.
We're pushing a half hour right now, or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening again. It's always it means a lot that you guys continue to tune in and listen. If you're new to the show, if you enjoyed the show, if you're listening on Apple. Rate, review the podcast. It's a great way to support the show. Helps us grow, helps us reach more people. So rate, review, follow us on our social media handles. The links are in the show notes. And
tell a friend.
And tell your friends that you would like this podcast that you heard from these guys on the internet. All right. All right. Peace, guys.